pray for them. COVID did impact them greatly, and more so than COVID, actually the results of COVID, the inflation has impacted our missionaries in a great way. I know we don't talk about it a lot, and because it's negative, but we do have a few missionaries who've come off the field the last 3 or 4 months. The Reisner family, they're in Russia because of the war in the Ukraine. We're not able to get back into Russia. And so Brother Reisner's taken a church and is pastoring a church here in the States now. And then we just got word here about a month ago that Brother Bergen, there in Scotland, the real short guy, again, I'll never forget, in the storefront, we were in Lake Worth in the storefront, I just started the church, and he came in to present his ministry in Scotland, 6'4" or 6'5", and wore a kilt. It was hilarious. It was awesome. And but they have come off the field, and their reason, of course, believing the Lord has a reason for everything, but the inflation, it was just killing them. And literally, like, the electricity and stuff to the building was like 4 or 5 times higher after COVID than it was before. And there's lots of other things that went about, but they are here. And he's already taken a pastorate here in the States as well. And so we appreciate them. Long-time missionaries in Scotland, over 20 years, a great couple. And most of their kids are still in Scotland. Their kids are settled in Scotland. And he says, now it's the opposite. He's here in the States and all his kids are still in Scotland and have jobs and a life over in Scotland. And now he's separated from them again, just the opposite way. And so, but be in prayer for our missionaries. And we're so glad we see many, many, many new missionaries going to the field and many missionaries, again, staying with it. But our missionaries need our prayers. As I was looking into forgiveness and also preaching on Romans chapter 12, I came across this, and I thought this might be a blessing. It was a blessing to me. And really, it's just simple message on 7 words to live by from the Bible. 7 words to live by from the Bible. It's a real simple, adapted from Dr. Lee Robertson, who pastored for years in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And just 7 words, key, from the Bible that we can live by as Christians. Psalm 119. Let's read let's look at Psalm 119, 105. Most of you have it memorized. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And most of you know that the Psalm 119, the whole chapter, this big long chapter, is all about the word of God, about the law of God, the truth of the word of God. And we as Christians are to live by the book. And I mentioned it so many times this morning, and I thought tonight I just want to bring it back. I've told many who have joined our church, I said about every 6 or 7 weeks, you're going to hear a message or something that pertains to, don't give up reading your Bible. Stay with it. They say it takes between 25 and 31 days to create or to quit a bad habit. It used to be 21 days. I think another study came out and said 25 days. But if you can quit something for 21 days, 25 days, the likelihood of you being able to stay with it and continue to quit it, except for chocolate, you'll be able to overcome that habit in a practical sense. But the opposite is also true. To create a good habit also takes some consistency and staying with it, some discipline to stay with it. And so reading your Bible, we're into February now. How's your daily Bible reading going? The Bible is our guide. It's our roadmap for life. And here tonight, just simply 7 words from the Bible that we live by. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word and the encouragement and blessings that it brings. And Lord, help us, Lord, to not only read it, but to live it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You hold in your lap the greatest book on earth. We are encouraged, we are challenged by the word of God to hide it in our hearts. In fact, Psalm 119, most of you know this verse 2, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the word of God that empowers us, strengthens us, encourages us. You say, well, the Holy Spirit does that too. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit does that. But the word of God is not just any book. It's a book with power, with dynamite. It can change lives. It's an amazing, amazing book. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want your faith to grow? Then you need to read the book. You want your faith to grow? Then you need to hear the book preached and taught by your Sunday school teacher and by Brother Wiggins and myself and others who preach the Word of God. And a podcast or two wouldn't hurt a bit from, I don't know, I can name six or seven or eight of them that are really good. And just stay in the Word of God. Your faith will grow. By the way, the Bible's eternally settled in heaven. Aren't you glad of that? Never changes. The Word of God is the inspired, inerrant book of the Word of God. It is God-breathed. God's holy Word, and therefore, again, brings us some words to live by. Number one, and most of these you'll know and be familiar with, number one is faith. In fact, I'd put this at the top of the list. That's why it's number one. Faith. Faith. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. Trust God. I told you one year in my Bible reading, I went through the Bible and underlined every time the Bible said trust in the Lord or wait on the Lord. Any of those words that had to do with keeping our confidence in God. And that's essentially it. In our Christian life, we must keep our confidence and our trust should be in the Lord. People will fail us, but God will never fail us. It is faith that saves. It's trusting in the Lord, as we said this morning, as your Savior that saves us. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we could spend countless other scriptures that tell us that faith is a faith that saves. But a faith that saves is a faith that works. And it's by faith that we live. It's by faith we're saved, but also by faith we live. We are to live by faith. It's faith that cheers us. It's a faith that rules in our hearts. Having our faith in God, again, encourages us. It cheers us. I find myself sometimes complaining. Do you? I find myself sometimes complaining about life. Do you? I find sometimes complaining about things that are in my life that I wish weren't there. I find myself complaining about trials in my life that I wish weren't there. I find myself complaining about people in my life that I wish weren't there. Don't you just find yourself complaining? Especially this last week. Complaining about the weather. Welcome to Texas, you guys from Washington. Welcome to Texas. Just wait a day, weather will change. You know, we complain about everything. We really do. If we don't watch ourselves, we'll be complaining about everything. Remember, we ought to put our trust in God. Confidence in Him that He knows best. He does. He always has our best interests in mind. Everything that comes in our life, He has allowed in our life. And we need to be careful about complaining about those things. In fact, as a Christian, our reaction to detours in life, our reaction to trials in life should be much different than the world, because we have someone we can depend on. We have someone we can trust in. We have someone we know that has our best interest in mind, and again, has allowed those things into our life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. Build your faith. How do we build our faith? We build our faith upon the Word of God. Upon the first Word of God. Now, understanding that trials build our faith, detours, all these things build our faith. But it is primarily the Word of God that gives us information that we need about the Lord in order to trust Him. The more we know the Lord, the more we'll trust Him. I may have said that a couple of weeks ago. The more we know about Jesus Christ, the more we'll trust Him. So the more the deeper you understand the God of the Bible, the more you'll trust Him. And the more your faith will grow. We need to read our Bibles and pray every day, and we'll grow, grow, grow. Has God ever let you down? Well, I can tell you, you may in your feebleness, in my feebleness, and in our feeble faith sometimes, think that God let us down, but God has never let you down. God will never fail you nor forsake you. He never, never forsakes us. He's always there. And we are saved by faith. All of us agree to that. All of us tonight, in this room know that the Bible says, makes it very clear that we are saved by faith, and faith alone, by grace through faith. But we also are to live by faith. And that's where it's hard for us to truly trust. We can trust Jesus for salvation. Hello. But to trust him with what's going to happen tomorrow is difficult. Right? Nobody else, just me, has that problem. But remember, you know how on these new vehicles, some of them have those headlights that actually will kind of turn a little bit when you turn, and they turn a little bit this way when you turn? But they still can't see what is around the corner. But God can. God knows what's around every corner that you go around. Before you get there, he knows. We need to trust him. Have faith. Words to live by. Faith. Trust. Trust in him. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith. And what? Feel no alarm. Again, we have a tendency as Christians, as children of God, to trust him in salvation, but not trust him for tomorrow. We are to put our trust in him, faith, a word to live by. Number two, words to live by from the Bible is obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22, think about Samuel. As him and God were conversing, said, behold, God said this, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God makes this very clear. He also does this in the book of Isaiah, and back to the book of Psalms too. Does it 3, 4, 5 different times. That God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. I'm talking about the sacrifice of animals and sacrifice. He'd rather have obedience than the rituals. Obedience than the rituals. As we are raising our three human beings that God gave us, we had to, if you're going to do it right, there has to be some instruction. This is what we're doing. This is what you're going to do. And you're a little human being, and I'm going to ask you to do this and go do it. We give them instruction on what they should do and how, and then we ask them to do it. But sometimes they weren't obedient. And the long arm of the law. Now, the long arm had to intercede and to make them do some things they were not doing. Listen, God's given us instruction. Again, he hasn't left us without a guide and a map. We're to read it and obey. I was reading a book, and you've heard me quote this 1,000 times, but I was reading a book here a few years ago, and the quote was that our education in the Bible has far exceeded our application. And it's absolutely true for most Christians. My education, I was raised in church. I don't know all the Bible, but I know a lot of it, but it far exceeds my application. I fail so many times. And we are in order to, again, these seven helpful words from the Bible is to be obedient. Read your Bible, pray every day. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. That means to be in the attitude of prayer all the time. It's been said that prayer is a muscle that moves the arm of God. Again, we read our Bibles, we pray, we go to church. Dr. Lee Robertson, that I kind of adapted the sermon from, he used to say three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, be in church when the church doors are open. God will bless you for it. Can I encourage you in that way as well? I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but 3 to 3, be in church. Hear the word of God being preached. Listen to the songs. What a blessing to hear the songs tonight. What a blessing to sing the hymns tonight. Give. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Will he not pour you out a blessing? God will pour you out a blessing. Give. Witness. Acts 1:4, you shall be witnesses unto me. Again, these basics of Christianity. And that is to read your Bible, pray, attend church. By the way, attend church faithfully. And Hebrews 10:25, it says that we're not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we're to meet together so much more as we see the day approaching. It still just bugs me. It bugs me to no end that we have many churches today, a lot of Baptist churches, a lot of other kinds of churches that have stopped having Sunday night services. When Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 makes it very clear that we're supposed to be meeting more as we see the day approaching. The more that we see that Christ is returning, the more we see that Christ is soon to return, we're supposed to be in church more often, not less. Is that not what it says? Look it up. Hebrews 10, 25 makes it very clear. And I'm thankful we have a group of people that are willing to come out Sunday night and willing to come out Wednesday night. And what a great testimony on your behalf that we come out and hear the Word of God being preached. Being obedient to the Word of God. Again, these five things, Bible reading, prayer, church, giving, witnessing. These are repeated over and over and over again in church. They're repeated over and over again in Sunday school. They're repeated over and over and over again in children's church. They're repeated over and over and over again in master clubs. They come up all the time. One of the five, two of the five, three of the five, four of the five, five of the five, tonight five of the five. Five-star Christian. Brother Clarence Sexton uses that term. It's just the beginning. Those five things are just basics. They're basics to help you as a Christian get started. They really are the starting blocks. They're the basics to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. When you get those five basics down, then it allows you to go deeper into your relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, you want that. You want that. And Jesus Christ desires that. Seven words to live by: faith, obedience. Number three is consecration. Kind of an old word, but found in the Bible. This goes along with our theme, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable unto God with your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Next Sunday morning, not next Sunday, but the next Sunday, I intend on preaching on holiness, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that we as Christians are commanded to live consecrated lives, that we are commanded to live a life that's separate from the world. We're to come out from the world, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This is an area in the Christian life that's not taught in a lot of churches anymore. It's not preached from the pulpits across America much anymore, but it is in the Bible. Paul said to young Timothy, preach the whole counsel of God. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And we need to be reminded from time to time that we as Christians ought to live consecrated lives, lives that are separated from the world, separated from the world. By the way, separated from the world unto God. You can live a separated life and be a Pharisee and a Sadducee. Hello? You can live a life that's separated from the world and be a monk somewhere in a monastery. That's not what the Bible intends. The Bible intended for us, and the message is that we be separated from the world and the world system, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That all the world has to offer, that fun, fortune, and fame, that we be separated from those things unto God. Unto God. Separated from unto the Lord. We're to surrender our lives to Him, living daily for Him. Take up thy cross daily and follow Him, living for the Lord every day. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. We're to die to self. I've been trying to put a message together for years on die to self. I have it in my top drawer on my right-hand side of my desk, and every once in a while I pull it out and I go through it again. Just not ready to preach it yet. It's such a Bible truth that we as Christians have to learn to depend upon God. We so much depend upon ourselves. We have to die daily. This old flesh, boy, it wants stuff. The world's crying out, trying to entice us. The devil's trying to entice us. We have to die to self every day. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. The desire of our life should be that a desire to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, to give our lives to the Lord, to yield to Him every day. Lord, this is not my life. Lord, it's yours. to present to him a living sacrifice. And then number four is service. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 and verse 44, there says, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever shall be the chiefest among you shall be your servant, shall be the servant of all. I didn't write that down very good. Shall be the servant of all. We know the principle, and Jesus Christ taught this in the upper room right before he was to be crucified, that we're to be ministers. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, Jesus said, and to give my life a ransom for many. He who would be the chief should be the servant, to be the servant. We're to be servants of God. We're to be servants for the Lord. There in the upper room, again, just hours before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he washed the disciples' feet. Again, feet are gross. And back then they wore sandals everywhere. Nasty. Didn't have that cream stuff, you know, that knocks all the dead skin off and all that stuff. I, as a guy, don't do that, but I know girls. Anyway, sharing too much information. Feet are nasty. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Remember when they came in and as he, by the way, that was the job of a servant. Most of you know that. The job of a servant was to wash the people's feet who, as they came into a house. And Jesus stooped down, took a towel, and washed the disciples' feet. And here comes Peter, good old Peter. Here comes Peter. And Peter said to Jesus, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus said, then you'll have no part with me. And Peter said, oh, don't just wash my feet, wash my body. Always sticking his foot in his mouth. But we have a great example. In fact, we have the greatest example of a servant, and that servant is Jesus Christ. And may we strive to be a servant. By the way, not just a servant here at the church, but a servant to all. A servant to all. Servant to our neighbor. A servant at work. Servant to our loved ones. A servant to our spouse. You want to have good marital advice? Be a servant to your spouse. Treat them as you would want to be treated. Be a servant. Be a servant to all. Jesus Christ was a servant to all. We should say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to be a servant. And then number five, watchfulness. Watchfulness. Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Christ said to his disciples there in the upper room, again, that same place where he washed the disciples' feet, just hours before he was to be crucified, he said to his disciples, I will come again. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, I will come again. He's coming again. One of the key words in our life should be watchfulness. I never forget Brother James Stone preaching from this pulpit years ago when he was on staff here, and he preached a message on remembering to live our life in view of eternity. And he said that he prayed that every day. I can't say that I pray it every day, but most every day I do. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. Help me to be watchful. The day is soon approaching. Jesus Christ will return. We are living in the last of the last days. We're living in the last of the last days. All prophecies are fulfilled. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. There are some new Christians here tonight. Some new families. Listen, tonight, Jesus could return tonight. The Bible makes that clear. We believe, the Bible teaches, in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. What if he came back tonight? Are you ready? If we are to live in light of eternity, it will change the way we live. It really would. All of us are impacted by that statement. All of us, to a certain degree, do not live in light of eternity. We don't live in light that Jesus may return. We don't live our lives as if we're going to give an account for our lives tomorrow, but we may. And we need to be watchful. Watchful. He's coming again. He's coming again. By the way, the second coming and the rapture, these two things are mentioned 1,500 times in the Bible. That's pretty awesome. 1,500 times. I think it's pretty important. It's really important. May we live every day as if we were to stand in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. Watchfulness. Are you watchful? By the way, there's a blessing for those who look forward to, or look to the blessed hope. There's a crown for those who look for his return. May we remember that in accordance. Number six, if you're taking notes, compassion. Compassion. Words to live by. From the Bible, compassion. Matthew 9:36. But when he, Jesus Christ, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. This is an area that I struggle with. It's part of my temperament, part of other things, but this is an area I struggle in. I don't have the compassion I should have. And so I pray for it. Lord, give me more compassion. Give me more compassion. There's a difference between being friendly and being compassionate. Like, I waved at a guy this morning at the donut shop. He didn't see me, but I waved just in case. I'm from Texas. You wave at people, people. If you moved here from Washington and other places,
California.
We wave at people around here, okay? And by the way, if somebody waves at you and you don't wave back, that's rude. That is so rude. In Texas, we wave back. We may just kind of do this. Kind of give that face. But in Texas, if somebody says hi to you, you say hi back. If you're walking down the sidewalk and they say, hey, or they say howdy, that's my expression. I copy my dad. Howdy, you say hi back. I mean, that's Texas. I can usually tell people who are not raised in Texas by the way they don't do those things. A true Texan. But there is a difference between being friendly and being compassionate. We can be friendly. We can be even courteous. But do we have compassion for that person? Do we have compassion for them and for their soul? Is your next door neighbor saved? Is your coworker saved? Is your aunt and your uncle saved? Do you know? Have you asked? Jesus looked out on that multitude and had compassion. I don't know if there's ever been a time when I haven't attended a basketball game, a football game, or been in an arena with a lot of people and just looked out and go, man, what if you could preach the gospel to this crowd? But you know that the Lord gave us a method for reaching the lost, and primarily, it's you telling others. It's you telling others, or either telling others of the gospel or bringing them into the store, bringing them to the house and let the gospel be told to them. In other words, primarily the Bible, it's going and getting them. And that method is one by one primarily as well. One by one. Each one reach one, right? We ought to all have a goal this year to reach one person. You ever done that? Just maybe make that your goal. I want to reach one person this year. I want to reach one person. Give the gospel to one person and then continue to give them the gospel until they tell me to go away. I want to stock one person for Jesus. Y'all didn't get that one. Brother Johnson did. Just want to stay after one person. Maybe two people. Maybe three people. We are to be compassionate. Jesus Christ, of course, absolutely compassionate. We ought to be concerned about others. We ought to love people, care for them, no matter their status. And you know this. I'm thankful that God's no respecter of persons, and neither should we. Right. Doesn't matter what a person looks like. And I don't care. We still have a tendency when we look at people to judge them by what they look like. And by the way, the Bible, people judge people by what they look like. Even Samuel, when he saw the seven sons of Jesse, the oldest son of Jesse, when Samuel came to anoint David as king, and he saw the oldest son who was the tallest and the best looking, blah, 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 blah. He said, Lord, this has to be him. And God said to him, what? Listen, don't judge people by its cover, basically what he said, because God judges on the heart. But he did judge him. That's a whole nother sermon. Be careful. God loves everybody. And this is an area where most struggle, no matter the color of skin. Understand there are not races in the Bible. There's only one race, the human race. Hello? There are ethnicities, but not races. There's only one race, the human race. God loves everybody. By the way, God loves everybody according to social status. Doesn't matter to Him. Whether you're rich or poor, somewhere between, God loves you. And we should love Him as well. God loves people who look different. They may not look exactly like you or like me. Maybe they got a few things on their body and all those type of things. Man, we ought to love people. Compassion. By the way, Jesus came to save sinners. By the way, Paul said He was the chiefest of them. So be careful. But He came to save sinners. He came to understand that the church is a hospital for sick people. We ought to be careful. Have compassion for people. I'll never forget the first time that Brother Fran was here, the missionary from the Philippines. Y'all remember that? Some of you may remember the first time he came. The first time he came and he showed the pictures there in the Philippines of people, thousands of people in little shanties living next to the railroad tracks. Remember that? Yeah. Some of them living on the railroad tracks and literally moving their houses when the trains come by. It's crazy. Brother Francis said, I want to go to those people. And he did. And he's still there, still working, still doing compassion for people. No matter what they look like, no matter what they are or whom they are, but loving them just as they are. Has your heart been touched lately by someone? Has your heart been touched lately by the Holy Spirit to tell somebody about Jesus? Did you obey that prompting of the Holy Spirit? Do you do your best to keep a track in your pocket or in your purse? I try very hard to have one on me. Leave one at the restaurant, leave it places. Compassion. And lastly, words to live by from the Bible, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. I believe all of us would love to get to heaven and be told, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. The Bible says, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee the crown of life. There is a crown for those who remain faithful. Faithfulness is a major theme in the Bible, found over and over and over again. I wonder why it's there because of the message it is, but also because of its all-encompassing of people. In other words, everyone can be faithful. Doesn't matter your strength. Doesn't matter your health. You can still be faithful to God no matter what is going on in your life. Again, whether you're in a wheelchair or you're able to, you know, run a marathon, doesn't matter how healthy you are, you can still be faithful to God. We can be faithful to the end. No matter your resources, we can all be faithful. Can I just again encourage you to be faithful to the Lord? Be a faithful servant of God. Be careful. Don't be one of those yo-yo Christians. Up and down, up and down, up and down. On fire for a little while, then not on fire. Something doesn't put you out. Then you go, you finally get on fire again, then something puts you out. I know we all live this way a little bit, but some people live this way in the Christian life. It should be this. Small hills and valleys, right? As you make your way and growing in the Lord. Faithfulness. Determined to be a faithful Christian. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Faithfulness. Dependability. Being steady, reliable, faithful. Isn't that what you would look for in someone who might work for you? Sometimes it's better to hire somebody who's dependable and faithful and loyal than it is to hire the person who may be better suited for the job. Because at least they are dependable and they show up. And just be faithful. The greatest ability is dependability, right? Be faithful. Availability. Be faithful. Be faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to Bible reading. Faithful to giving. Faithful to prayer. Faithful to the church. Faithful in witnessing. That five-star Christian thing again. Let us as Christians be faithful. Faithfulness does require discipline. I reviewed this a little bit with you the other day. Faithfulness does require discipline. we're going to be faithful to Bible reading, it's going to mean we're going to have to get up earlier. We're going to have to stay up a little late. If we're going to be faithful in our prayers, we're going to have to get up a little earlier, stay a little late. When I commuted from Springtown to when we were meeting in Lake Worth or when we were in White Settlement or even when we were here, and I had that 35-minute commute, which some of y'all still make a lot, I actually used that time as my prayer time. Doesn't have to be, you know, out in the woods somewhere with a makeshift altar. No, it's just, when are you going to be alone with the Lord and taking time with the Lord? Now my commute is not but like 3 minutes, so that's not my prayer time anymore. But you have time. Make time. Be faithful. Take some discipline to do so. Again, not just discipline, but dependence. So discipline, dependence. You say, well, now you're saying it's on you. No, I'm not saying it's on you. But I am saying you put yourself in a position where God can strengthen you. God can bless you. You do those things you know you're supposed to do, and God's going to strengthen you and bless you. Because you ought to always have the attitude, Lord, I'm depending upon you, as we said this morning. Lord, I'm total dependence upon you. I can't live the Christian life on my own. I can't live the Christian life without the Lord. I can't live the Christian life without the grace of God. I cannot live the Christian life as God intended for me to live without His power. Can't do it. It's impossible to do without Him. So it is about going to Him in the mornings or the evenings, wherever your prayer time is. Lord, I am dependent upon you. Lord, I cannot live this day without you. Lord, help me to live in the spirit and not the flesh today. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity today. God, help me, strengthen me, provide your grace to me. Be faithful, be determined, be disciplined, but be dependent. Be dependent upon the Lord. Words to live by from the Bible: faith, obedience, consecration, service, watchfulness, compassion, faithfulness. Words to live by. Let's all stand.